Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Happy, hit it around the tower, sink your putt, and we'll go to sudden death.
I'll just beat him now.
Just want to cozy it up. Don't need to make it. 2 putts.
J.J. Spahn closes the deal with a birdie at the last.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. The tournament needed that putt, didn't it? Yeah, sure. They were going to go to a playoff today.
Right.
It used to be...
Well, they needed a 2-putt then.
Right, that's right. But, yeah, sure.
Unless you thought that putt...
Even the 2-putt was...
I'm guessing I'm thinking about this for the first time right now. Was that putt going to blow by the hole if he didn't make it?
It might have had some speed to it, but...
They wouldn't have played last night,
No,
right?
They would have played today. They told Bob McIntyre they would have played today. And it's sudden death. It used to be 18 full holes.
Right.
They got rid of that.
That was... We watched the 18-hole playoff, a little bit of that yesterday.
That's right.
Tiger and Rocco.
Yeah.
2008 was 18 holes, right?
Sorry. It's a two-hole aggregate playoff now.
Okay.
So they would have come back today, and at one point there were, a four-way tie at plus one?
Five. There was a five-way tie for a second.
It wasn't until Spahn birdied 17 and then 18 to win. And it looked like they're all coming back and playing two holes today, which maybe that would have been pretty cool. But anyway, J.J. Spahn hits the longest putt that anyone hit in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
On that.
Awesome.
Not bad.
Is it also, I haven't seen anybody point this out, I haven't looked for it yet, but in my memory, that's the longest putt I feel like I've ever seen to clinch a major.
A major, yes. It's Nick Taylor at the Canadian Open was the one like that.
That
right?
was a bomb.
Yes, yeah. An absolute bomb where you can putt from where Nick Taylor putted to win it, and that was crazy. But yeah, to win a major, yeah, I mean...
What's the longest you feel like you can remember? Like,
the guys have chipped in. But
to win the major?
To win a major.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the 64-foot putt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
The whole length of the green. Yeah. I think we were all ready for that tournament to be over, for sure. And to see, how about to see somebody do something on the course that wasn't just pure carnage?
Yep.
Right, because there were more club slams that we saw in that final hour of the broadcast than there were birdies. It was just every second you looked up, guy was duffing his chip in that rough and then slamming his club on the ground. So getting to see somebody, be able to score a little bit at the end, which he did, right? It wasn't even just the last two. He birdied 12 and 14 also.
Yep.
So
after starting with a bunch of bogeys, too.
He bogeyed 5 of his first 6 holes.
Let this be a lesson to everybody out there. Don't give up after 6 holes.
You could still have a round.
You, too, could win the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Brian Koziel texted me that Spahn's win probability was at 1.4% at 3:40 p.m. And he was still 4 back at 6:33 with 1.8%. So in... 3 hours, basically, between 3:40 and 6:33, he had only gone up by like half a percentage point. McIntyre, it was very different than a normal major, obviously, because what do you think when, hey, guy's in the clubhouse now, tied for the lead, and he's tied with 4 other guys who all have holes left? You're thinking, oh, that guy doesn't have a shot. In this instance, I looked. McIntyre, when he had a 5-way tie and he was done and everybody else had multiple holes left, was the betting favorite.
Yeah.
He was minus 150.
Because par's a good score. Getting in with pars is good.
Right. The expectation was that all these guys are going to bogey.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them did bogey except for one of them. It only took the one.
His drive on 17, Spawn, was reminiscent of Morikawa at the PGA Championship at Harding Park.
When he beat Zalatoris?
Yeah, he drove the green to 8 feet on the 16th hole.
Yep.
I remember that one because I've played that 16th hole. I did not drive it to within 8 feet like Morikawa did. But, yeah, we'll talk about some JJs today. JJ Spawn and JJ Paterka, of course. Plenty to get to. We'll check in with Paul a little bit later today. We'll wake him up and get him on. And, of course, remember that tournament yesterday. Hope everyone had a good Father's Day, a good weekend. It was beautiful. Played some golf. Had a chance to play some golf. A good, honest round.
Nice.
You know? I haven't played enough rounds. I shouldn't say that. I haven't played a lot of 18 holes.
Yeah.
Course I don't go to that often. You were nice enough to get us out in Tri-County where you're a member, which is beautiful course.
So for how early you played, I'm guessing you were waking up pretty early for a Sunday. So was there a dad nap somewhere along the way?
Not really. I was up early and out of the house by 6 because I wanted to play as early as possible to get back for the rest of Father's Day, which we did. Played with my father-in-law, my brothers-in-law. We had a good match. Some good game.
Yeah, because my favorite meme of the day was the dads waking up from their Sunday afternoon nap and they're squinting and Tiger Woods. Like Tiger Woods is on the TV winning the U.S. Open.
So that did happen to me. It wasn't from a nap, but, you know, just doing stuff with the kids and outside. We're outside. I put the U.S. Open on outside. We've got a TV out there and play in the backyard. And I did turn over and look and there's like, who was wearing a black sweater with a vest over it? I don't remember anybody in the field doing that. I get closer, and it's Tiger Woods hitting a shot.
I thought,
"What?" It took a second to register. 5 seconds, 5 solid seconds of, and then me just saying to the room, "Oh yeah, this must be a weather delay." out loud, no one's around me. I was in the backyard. No one's around me. Yeah, this must be a weather delay. I explained to the plants.
Right.
You know. Oh, okay. And then what did I do? I watched a lot of that.
I think a lot of us did, right?
Yes, like, a lot of us did. And it made me remember ESPN Classic and the days where you would just have old games on.
ESPN Classic.
Yeah, there'd just be old games on all the time.
Yeah.
The best thing we've got for that now is what, like NFL Network and NHL Network? They'll show you, hey, the 13 seconds game is on. Not that that's one we want to watch.
Well, that's the one you went to right away.
Well, it's a classic game.
It has been on there. YouTube is good for that now, right? Like all those old games and stuff are on YouTube. But, yeah, on TV, like ESPN's not putting them on one of their networks anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
That broadcast, I'm sure you can watch in full on YouTube, but it's not something that I would ever like seek out. Like, I don't know, old golf broadcasts, I'll do it with some football games. I definitely do it with old boxing matches, but and old hockey games, like especially with the Sabres being what they are, going back and watching an old playoff game is, you know, needed sometimes. But those full broadcasts of, like, you know, the 87 Masters is in full on YouTube, like, never. 08 maybe. If I ever came across it, because I watched that live as a kid, maybe could have appealed to me. But I'm glad they put it out in front of me. And they kind of cut it up well. Like, didn't they started from like the middle of Tiger's round on Sunday, and maybe they showed a little bit of Saturday too, and then the playoff. So, yeah.
I've been watching the old Ryder Cup matches on YouTube. They have all those up there, and they've got some bangers. It's really, really fun to watch those.
Yeah.
Because there's a little more juice when you, like, looking back on a tournament, you know who won. Like, I don't remember who won these Ryder Cups as well, and it's like, you know, Woods versus whoever.
Right.
It's
fun. Golf and match play format
it's
is
so
great.
Fun. So much fun.
And Tiger did all of that in 2008, by the way, with a damaged ACL.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he could barely walk, and he's making that putt.
One thing about Tiger, I'll say, is I did not appreciate him enough in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If there were any athlete that I could magically push a button and restart their career now for my own enjoyment, it would be Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I'd like it to be 1997 again. And let's start him right there. 1997.
97.
Yep. Let's start Tiger Woods right now. Tomorrow is when he wins his first whatever. I want to relive Tiger Woods because I'm a different person than I was now. And
97's that's his first major.
Yep.
Yeah, he wins the Masters.
Wins the Masters. A win for the ages. Yep. Yeah. I don't remember that the way that I wish I did. I don't remember his walking in a putt against Bob May in the PGA the way that I should. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's faded too far from, you mentioned in like the Sabres playoffs and how you watch those games to remember what it was like. And there might be a couple playoff games in series here or there that you forgot about. Or, you know, this time of year is always, hey, it was this day that the Sabres won game one against the Stars. And maybe you remember it, but it's not as clear as you want it to be. And I had that thought yesterday about Tiger watching this all happen. They're talking about how, well, I mean, I don't know if he can get this close to the hole, Johnny, blah, blah, blah. And talk for 4 minutes, then he's just like, oh, watch this. Bam. Just
sticks it.
He just does whatever he wants. Yep. Right. And he won all the time, and he was just the aura, the persona. I mean, at the time, I did not like him. I didn't like that he was.
You didn't like him?
No, I was a Phil guy for a while there. Because I didn't like that his caddy was a jerk. I didn't like that, you know, he was as angry on the course as a lot of these guys were this week.
Yeah.
He got angry like that.
Sure.
And
he was intense.
Yeah. Which now I would not treat that the same way. Now I might not like, you know, some of the stuff, but I just, you know, root for him the whole time. I mean, everybody eventually probably came around on him if you were, or you were there at one point. And I just wasn't as in enough as I needed to be. If there's my answer to this used to be Muhammad Ali because I found him to be super fascinating. I'd love to have lived during Ali's career.
Yeah,
but he didn't fight enough, and I could have watched Tiger every Sunday. You know,
right.
So my answer on if there's one professional athlete where I could just hit a button and I get to relive it, I'm not going to go back and be as young as I was. But I'm just going to watch him as an adult. It's Tiger.
And it starts right now?
Starts right. Like, let's go. Yes. When I am
in
the peak of my cries after golf tournaments years.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Spawn, here he is, you know, hugging his kids. And I'm all right. Looks like I'm cries at the majors guy. It didn't happen for the PGA because that was boring.
Uh-huh.
But for a guy winning his first.
It's the moment. Do you see the story about him going to CVS at 3 o'clock in the morning to because his daughter was sick?
Yes, Kyle Porter, yesterday. Kyle Porter reported that he has since clarified he might not have gone at 3 a.m. but they were up at 3 a.m. He said he kind of maybe guessed on that because people got mad for pointing out that CVS might not be open at 3 a.m. Not all of them are 24 hours. I guess not. Anyway, right? He's up with a sick kid and makes the tee time, blah blah blah, and wins.
Yeah,
just. Awesome.
If I were starting an athlete from the start, I think I'd pick Steph Curry. Let me just experience that again for the first time.
Starting at Davidson? I mean, he had a great run in the tournament.
That's a good point. Where do I start with him?
They made the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that was good. That was fine. I'll start it like right as the Warriors are getting good. Right as the Warriors are getting good, let me start there where he breaks the sport.
Yeah,
That's kind of the thing I'd be looking for is who broke their sport. Because I feel like Curry did that. Tiger definitely did that, right? Like, broke his sport over his knee. But there's not going to be a long list of those. I don't have a football player or even a hockey guy that I could think of for it. Like, McDavid might be the closest, but we are experiencing that right now. So, yeah. I mean, getting to just in that putt that he makes against Rocco in 08, what stunk was. I'm 13 for that, so I love Tiger. I'm just coming into my prime as, like, a young sports fan. And then, like, that was it. Like, that 08 U.S. Open was awesome. I remember watching that with my dad, him making that putt. And then that's the last major he wins when I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he goes 11 years after that. So by that time, I'm an adult, and he's, you know, it just feels different. So... wished it was a little bit longer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his major wins, 97, 99, 2000, 2000 again, 2000 again, 2002, 2001, sorry, 2001, there's the Tiger Slam in there.
Yeah.
2006, 2006, 2008, 2005, like it's just...
And then nothing and then until 2019.
There were other tournaments like the non-majors. You know, if you're a big golf fan, you've got great events that aren't just the majors. I mean, Tiger won all the time.
Yeah.
And watching that yesterday, it really was a great decision to go to that on the weather delay. Then they came back and did replays of some stuff earlier in the day.
And then they came back to a course that was just like...
soggy.
It seemed impossible before it rained like crazy on Sunday, and then they came back and like, okay, no, now this is impossible. Where I've got Scheffler is 130 yards from the green, and he's chipping out to the fairway. He doesn't even feel comfortable going for the green. From 130 yards away, he's the best golfer in the world, and he's like, nah, I'm not trying that. I'm going to chip 20 yards out into the fairway. Like, that. It was at that point where I'm like, should they be playing out here? Because Justin Thomas was tweeting about that, and then there was a video of where Sam Burns hit one of his chips from Kyle Porter, yeah. When you step in it.
He tried to get a ruling on casual water and was denied and basically had to hit it off of a puddle.
Right.
Rough.
Which I was texting with Brian about, and he's like, he should have had relief.
Absolutely should have had relief.
He definitely should have had relief.
Yep.
And wasn't given that. And did he, I don't remember, was that one of the ones he duffed?
Yeah, it was bad.
So he was like out of it at that point.
Yep.
So the course, again, Spawn birdies a few times, and he makes those putts, and he hit some incredible drives. So you can't really go to this today because, like, hey, that dude figured it out. But everybody else was, like, just it seemed as unplayable of a course as you've ever seen.
Yep.
In a major. They probably shouldn't have been out there.
One guy finished under par. One guy. And that's Spawn. And it's because he hit that bomb putt. And birdied the hole before. So all he had to do...
Right, to do that, look what he had to do.
He had to drive a green and hit a 64-yard putt.
He basically had to avoid... He had to avoid the course, right? Like, really avoid the rough yesterday after it rains is just death. You can't do anything about it. But he avoided it because he hit one on the green and then he kept one into the fairway and tended the green again. So that's what you had to do. But it would have been very easy to screw that up for anybody.
803-0550, our phone number. If you want to, you know, sample that, maybe we'll kick that around a little more.
The
later.
Athlete that if you could hit the restart button right now.
Who would you appreciate now in a way you didn't at the time?
Ooh, because see, that's different than my Steph answer. Because I did appreciate, I just would want to see it again.
Yeah.
Like, and experience it for the first time. But I definitely appreciated it.
All right, who would you appreciate? Hasek? I mean, Dominic Hasek's a great answer for this.
1,000%. That for me is going to be more though, just because I didn't get to see it.
Yeah,
really. Like at the end, a little bit, but not much. I mean, I remember him more for Detroit, honestly, than I do for the Sabres. Like, because it's only a year or two. Hasek would be tough to beat. I would love to see what that was like watching him on a night to night basis like that, and being able to appreciate it. Because guys that I didn't appreciate, like, I never appreciated how good LeBron was until he really got back to Cleveland at the end. Like, I hated him when he was in Miami. But I don't know if I would pick him for this. And again, there's no one really in football, right, that you would pick?
Well, you could go way back. I mean, you could go to, I mean, if we're keeping it local, you could go to Bruce Smith. You could go all the way back to... I don't know. I'm trying to think of Barry Sanders is an answer for me.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You know, someone that I just like to reappreciate or appreciate it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is.
Yeah.
You want to go back and you want to do it over again with?
Okay, I've got a good answer. I've got a good answer. I would want to see Tyson. I'd want to see Tyson from the beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning. Can I just have the beginning up to when he beats Spinks? that's all I really need, I think. What's that? It's like a 20-fight sample in there, like at the beginnings, before he goes to jail, probably. Yeah, give me that. Give me Tyson at the start to see. Because Ali would be awesome, but
there's the gap.
Tyson
there's
was,
the gap in the middle for Ali, the gap in his prime.
There's a large gap there.
Whatever, if you want to get really deep on that, we can just remove that and watch him again.
But what I'm looking for is more of like the phenom type. You know, where like no one can believe this is real.
Yep.
And that is that's why like Curry is that for me, and Tiger is that, and Tyson at the start, I think, is probably along those lines. Where are people just look like talking to each other the next day, like, can you believe this guy exists? He's mashing everybody in 8 seconds. Yeah, I think Tyson.
A couple answers in the chat on YouTube if you want to throw it our way. You can check it out in the chat. You can call us. the athlete you would maybe appreciate more or differently. I mean, Michael Jordan's an answer here. Ted Williams' name comes up. Okay. Maybe again, maybe you saw the player when you're young, and now you would just watch it differently. Or maybe it's Ted Williams and you were not alive. You did not see this player, this person. Maybe it's, I don't know what, Nolan Ryan, Wayne Gretzky. There's one. Like Gretzky, for me, the years of Gretzky, I don't have any of the Oilers Gretzky in my memory at all. I have a little bit of Kings Gretzky and some Rangers Gretzky, and it feels like that's not the same show, right? That's, I mean, he's still great, and I remember him scoring that goal against Vancouver to become the all-time, but it's not the same. It's just not the same. So that might be one. That might be an answer as well. So we'll get to that. We'll get some calls in on that. I put it up on Twitter as well. You can chime in. It's a little offshoot of our U.S. Open where Spawn wins it, his first career major. But part of the big story was a lot of us that were watching that event did not turn it off because we got to watch some prime Tiger Woods, which is incredible. From J.J. Spawn to J.J. Paterka, I've been efforting to find the tweet that I sent and what day it was that I came in here and I told you, you and you guys and everybody listening, I think J.J. Paterka is not a long-term Sabre based on a conversation I had with someone that I believe would know. And it has slowly worked all the way to where that looks like it's true. Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman's latest is that Paterka wants to go.
Yep.
So there it is. It was.
And the Sabres are beginning to listen.
Because they realize that
it's a reality.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to lose this guy. They don't have to do it. They don't have to. They could really play hardball. They probably don't seem all that interested in playing hardball. But,
Maybe. I mean,
we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Should they play hardball? But it was months ago. I got to find out which game it was. I don't know where it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I can go through my text messages because I'll find out which games I was at. Anyway, I talked to someone who I thought would know about this kind of thing, and the word I got was, I don't think J.J. Paterka is going to be here long term.
I would have guessed that it was somewhere in October, October or November,
okay,
maybe, but I thought it was definitely in the fall. I would think. That would be my guess from the first time I remember hearing you say it.
I just don't know. I'll find it.
But it's been there. It's been there.
I will find it.
Like, I've been thinking about it with him, for sure. Like, whenever there's been any smoke about it, when there was the deadline stuff about him, like, all of it seemed believable to me because it just kind of went in line with things you hear about, what's going on and maybe what he likes. So, yeah, I guess I'm not stunned at all to hear Friedman. I'm not caught off guard at all to hear Friedman say it that plainly this weekend about him, that he might want out. Or that he plainly said that he does.
I think I'm looking at November.
It was
November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels right to me. It's a while ago.
Yeah. And it indicates that, Paterka, you don't pick where you're drafted. You sign an entry-level deal, you show up in the NHL, you play well, you think, I'm going to take control of my career. I'd like to tell my agent to make something happen here. And, now it's Kevin Adams and Jarmo Kekalainen's job to do that. 803-0550 is our phone number. We'll get a thought from Brian Koziel on this. He is, of course, your Sabres post-game host, intermission host. We'll talk to him about the U.S. Open and about Paterka. So he's going to talk J.J. and J.J. with us, as you can as well. Jeremy and Joe, look at that, another J.J. We're just, it's a theme today. Brian Koziel on the other side, your phone calls. Happy Monday. Happy belated Father's Day. It's WGR.
Just want to cozy it up. Don't need...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
to make it two putts.
In U.S. Open history, J.J. Spahn closes the deal with a birdie at the last.
J.J. Spahn, great putt, great moment there at the U.S. Open. And then awkward as Hovland took forever to finish out.
Okay, very quickly, I said to my dad watching that yesterday, shouldn't Hovland finish out?
Yeah, Hovland should have finished out, especially because he was out of it because he needed to hole his previous putt.
But what he said, and what I'm sure a thousand other people would have said, is, well, he's not going to make this one.
Even so.
And I'm like, well, if he does,
if he gets
it's going to be weird, isn't it?
If he gets it to 2 inches and doesn't make it, then what? He's going to make a mark?
Yeah.
Or he's going to tap in for the win? Brian Koziel joining us on the Western Hotline. We'll talk JJ and JJ, Spahn and Peterka in a moment. The latest reporting on JJ Peterka. Brian, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Monday.
Why didn't Hovland finish out?
Yeah, it you know, usually the champion is the one that you want to finish. The only thing I can think of is maybe he didn't even know that, you know, the last group's shots are meaningless. Because remember, Burns' group still had to come in and play.
So that's right. Right.
Like, well,
do you know who didn't know? Not, who didn't know what
the end of it here kind of thing, you know?
Spahn said he didn't know what he needed. He thought, he was pretty sure he could two-putt to win, but he didn't totally know. He was not checking up on the leaderboard nonstop and was trying to, I guess he's trying to stay in the moment there because he did not know what that was for. He knew it was a great putt, and he probably thought that might be it, but he did not know, like, definitively.
Which is surprising because, I mean, you would think, wouldn't you want to know if I need to make this?
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he said, all right, I kind of knew where I was, but, I mean, if you, I don't know, you know, are you putting it differently if you know you need to make three versus four? I think maybe in your head you're thinking, okay, I just have to make sure I don't three-putt, this kind of mentality. You could argue, well, you're trying to make it either way. I don't know. But the Hovland thing was weird. You're right. I mean, all that celebration and all of a sudden, oh, we got to have him finish out. And but the group behind still had to go. And it was, you know, obviously we knew it was over at that point. But the fact that Burns and Scott still had to come through, it was just a whole weird day. I mean, for how Spahn started out with all those fives, all those bogeys, shoots a 40 on the front. I mean, there's just no way we're thinking, okay, this is going to be the guy that comes back to win. But I guess in some sense, we could have thought anybody in that area was alive because all day we're sitting here watching, you know, Scottie Scheffler miss putt after putt after putt. And Rahm is sitting in the clubhouse super early at plus four. And we're wondering, like, okay, you know, is plus four maybe with conditions deteriorating? How could this play out? Could four end up being a factor? And then as Scheffler continues to play great golf up until he puts a putter in his hand, he could have very easily been in the mix at some point. Now, for him to get to minus one, I think in the end, now that the day's over, it would have been a tall task for him. But as we were seeing everybody, you know, be over par, and Spahn obviously was plus one playing the last hole, had Scheffler made anything, it would have been a very interesting additional storyline along the way.
Yeah. He also can't be very upset with Hovland because Hovland also gave him the read for that putt like 1 second before, which definitely probably helped. That putt, though, by Spahn, Brian, like, isn't that kind of the story of why he was, as everybody is falling apart when they restart, or at least a lot of guys are bogeying, Burns is having a tough time, and Hatton is like, I can't believe Hatton didn't throw a club at some point. How is it, what is it about Spahn's game at the end there that you were looking at and going, this is how he's not the guy that's, the one guy that's fallen apart?
Yeah, his mentality I was really, really impressed with. I mean, even what he had said coming off of the Players' Championship disappointment when he lost the playoff to McIlroy earlier in the year, he seems to be mentally very able now to handle the moment. He said for a long time in his pro career, he couldn't handle the moment and he didn't know how to do it. But he said that, you know, he's really taken a different mentality about it. And now, you know, about, I guess he says, you know, staying in the moment. Well, it's working. For his team, he said during the delay that they told him, like, look, you're still alive. He said a bit of advice that he had gotten during the delay, somebody telling him a story about Tiger Woods that, you know, he would still be grinding to see if he could come back here, kind of kept him in the moment. He said he even changed clothes just to, obviously he was wet, but as a, hey, this is a reset. This is a new start for me, a new tournament kind of thing. And boy, did he come out and play great, shoot a 32 on the back nine. But we saw at the Players' Championship what a good putter he was. And, man, on display here. I was super impressed with Burns' putting the entire tournament. I really did. He got a rough break, I thought, not getting relief from the water. Burns did on the hole that he ended up double bogeying and kind of losing the lead and losing control of the event. But Spawn down the stretch, some of the putts that he was making, really, really impressive. These guys, their ability to putt, not only under the pressure but under conditions, the fact that these conditions changed by the second with the weather, and then they're able to adjust and handle it under these conditions, under the speed, under the changing speed, and the fact these greens are massive at Oakmont, and they're able to handle these lengths of putts. I'm super impressed just by what everybody did here this weekend as a whole.
I saw a graphic that, you know, to drive home the size of the greens, that number one at Oakmont could fit like seven of the first hole, the first seven greens at Pebble Beach on it. Just on the first green. So, you know, you
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I, you know, I think you and I, you guys and I were talking about this on Thursday morning of like, oh, what's the course about? And I'm like, yeah, they expanded a lot of the greens. Again, you'd think that would make it easier, but they said, hey, we can have some unique pin locations now because we have such a big surface area. And it obviously made for some really good dramatic golf. And some of the shots that you guys, that we all saw from guys having to chip either near the green or around the bunker to these pins and these interesting pin locations, it was really entertaining. I was impressed with how the course played out. You know, obviously the rain, there was a little bit during the early portion of coming back, but during the rain, I'm like, all right, this is awful. Maybe they're going to have to call this. Obviously, we don't want to have a Monday finish, but luckily the rain subsided. And for the most part, other than the one ruling with Burns that I didn't agree with at all, I thought for the most part, you know, it finished with weather not too much becoming an overriding factor in the result.
Brian Koziel on the Wester Hotline on the U.S. Open. We'll get to J.J. Peterka in just a moment. So J.J. Spawn wins. And, you know, one other little storyline that came out of this, Brian, was the Tiger Woods coverage during the weather delay. And I wonder, I don't know, if anybody learned anything from that, where it's raining and we're just going to throw on Tiger Woods. And did you stick with it? Did you stay and just watch prime Tiger like so many others did?
I did, because my son and I were watching it, and he's 15, so he really did not watch Tiger. I mean, he watched a little of the 2019 Masters, but he did not watch Tiger like what was on display that we watched during the rain delay. And I was literally trying to tell you, I was like, Jack, like, this is what happened. He literally did this every week for like 15.
Oh. We lost Brian right in the moment. His phone quit out on him. Yeah, he did this all the time. That's a great example. Like, you're telling your son, telling your daughter, like, oh, yeah. Call him
this
over
every week.
Look at this guy. See this? This is Tiger Woods. I've tried to do that with, I mean, my kids are four.
Yeah.
And I've done that a little bit, too. Whenever there were Tiger Woods highlights, I would pop up on YouTube and try to show them, like, this guy, look at this guy. He was unbelievable. He was the best I've ever seen play this sport. And we got a dose of that yesterday. 803-0550. We'll get Brian back on the line and get a quick thought from him on J.J. Peterka as we get rolling. Brian, if you want to finish that thought, go for it. Otherwise, we can move on to some Peterka stuff.
I don't know how long I got into there with Woods there, but yeah, I was watching with my son and just saying, like, this is what he did for so long. I was like, you know how we're watching, you know, he's into golf, so we've watched, you know, we're watching Scheffler, and I'm like, look at what Scheffler is doing right now. Tiger did that even more. And he did it for like 15 years straight, and he did it with more flair and more excitement and more drama. And it was really, really, you know, it made me appreciate him even more. I saw your Twitter question about, you know, like, which athletes would you want to see again? You know, obviously that one would come to mind right away for sure. I never got to see like Muhammad Ali. I feel like I'd want to see him in like a prime moment, because what Tiger did culturally for golf, Ali really did for the world in some sense. I never really got to see him have like a live fight. I feel like I would probably steer toward him. I did get to see Jordan a little, well, for the most part, I got to see a lot of Jordan, the back end of Gretzky's career. But I feel like I would love to, if I could go back in time and like pick a sporting event, maybe for an individual, I never got to see Ali like with a live fight. I think maybe I'd have to think about picking him.
803-0550, Brian Koziel. All right, Brian, on J.J. Paterka and the reporting, it's a slow drip. I feel like you've got some people that will say, oh, it's just an agent, it's not real. I think it's all very real that Paterka wants out, wants to move, sees an opportunity here to take a little control of his career and ask the Sabres for a trade or sign an offer sheet. Do you ultimately think he gets moved?
I would think Kevin Adams doesn't want to move him, but now it maybe gives him the green light to start to be more aggressive in including him in this big deal or this big moves that we keep hearing rumors about that Kevin Adams kind of wants to make or that the Sabres are interested in making. Maybe it makes it a little easier to include him. Ultimately, it would be to the Sabres' benefit for this maybe not to get public. I think, that could help in negotiations that it's tougher to move. You'd want it to be tougher to move Paterka to increase his value. But, for as much as fans reacted last year to, he looks unhappy even when he scores, I guess it's not surprising that any player would say this. The Sabres are not good in terms of what they've been doing over the course of his career. And for a player to say, I'd like to move on, I guess it shouldn't be too surprising. He has value. He's young. He's got a ton of talent. He plays the power play. He had almost 30 goals last year. My expectation would be if he played again on the Sabres that we'd think he could score 30 next year. So I think he's got value. So here's an opportunity for Kevin Adams that he feels like, all right, if this is not going to work out long term and we don't have Paterka all on board, Adams has continually said throughout his tenure here, he wants guys that want to be here. If he's getting that sense from Paterka that he doesn't want to be here, well, here's an opportunity to maybe flip the script. In general, overall, for as much as I think I would criticize Adams for maybe not doing the right thing at the right time to help out the team when they've been struggling, especially last year during that 13-game losing streak, I think I would say overall I've been fairly happy with the trades that he's made. So here's a chance to could throw out a big name with maybe a bright future and a lot of potential to see if he can turn it around and maybe bring in another player that can help them maybe start to look a little bit more like what we see with the Florida Panthers, who have been so tough to play against here throughout this playoff.
Maybe Paterka in a Jason Robertson package? Mm-hmm.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
One thing about Paterka, we can talk about if we're upset about the idea the Sabres might trade him. How many better players than Paterka will be traded this offseason? The list is not long.
You wouldn't expect it to be many.
Not very many. So
no.
You might have the ability to throw out a big package and, you might get a guy that doesn't want to be here but doesn't have a choice, which is kind of how it has to work.
Yeah, Robertson might be one of them, though. Like, Brian, to your point, I don't know if Robertson is like a, I'm going to smash you through the boards type of guy.
But he's two-way.
He's 6'3 and an elite defender on top of his goal scoring. So kind of what you just said, like, again, even if he's not, like, super physical, like, he certainly would fit, I think, your description of tougher to play against.
Yeah, I think so. And, Robertson can get it done at both ends, so that would be something that I feel like would be of value to this team. Yeah, and for Adams, because of the Sabres bringing in now an assistant GM, essentially. But I think it's very easy for Terry Pegula now, if he wants to make a move in season with Kevin Adams, to do so. I'm not saying I'm predicting it, but now if the Sabres get off to a poor start, like, the move is already done. Like, you don't have to go out and interview somebody. You don't have to think about do I have to go out and pay somebody else? Now, maybe you have to bump his salary up a little, but it's essentially the groundwork is there and all the legwork has been done. So if I'm Adams, like, I'm thinking every move I have to make now has to be about next season and winning, and maybe winning in the first 3 months. If the Sabres get off to a terrible start, the move could be there automatically that he doesn't see another trade deadline. So I'm expecting him, and we'd be very disappointed if not, that there isn't multiple moves made by the Sabres that ultimately affects their NHL roster immediately. Because if I'm Adams, I'm thinking I'm very fortunate here that I'm getting a sixth season, considering they've missed the playoffs all five under my tenure. And I've got to make sure that I don't get this off to a bad start, because basically my successor is already now sitting in the chair right next to me.
Brian Koziel. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much.
Brian Koziel, he hosts, co-hosts Tee to Green every weekend, and also, of course, our Sabres intermission and post-game reports, J.J. Paterka. Well, there's a lot more to get into this, and we will. The latest reporting from Elliot Friedman, we'll bring that to you on Paterka and how this all, you know, played out and how it might play out from here. Stanley Cup Final is Florida's to lose right now. They are up 3-2, mm-hmm. and after two incredible games, I feel like the series has had a couple of duds along the way. But whatever. Game 6 from Florida is on the way. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring, 803-0550 on WGR. Keon Coleman drops. First I saw it was 70, but 60 in a charity game in basketball?
Yeah, and he had 40 at the half.
The highlights are pretty impressive.
He's shooting threes, step-back threes. He's throwing dunks to himself.
Yeah, he did one of those
throwing the ball dribble around
an opponent's body and then dunk it.
Yep.
Mr. Keon Coleman dominating the hardwood and not employing an everybody eats mindset.
No.
On the basketball court, Keon eats. Everybody else, he's waving people aside. Get out of the way.
It's possible he's the best basketball player in the NFL.
I think it's likely.
Yeah?
Yep.
Wouldn't there be someone else somewhere in the NFL pool players that played D1 college basketball or no?
Yeah.
He might be the only one?
Yeah. A couple of tight ends in there, right?
Yeah.
All right. On J.J. Paterka, when we return, get you the latest on that from Elliot Friedman and what the Sabres can do about it. And I think what it says about Kevin Adams. That's coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.